Hey, everybody. Welcome. Jean-Marc Comer here, along with the one and only Bethany Allen.
Hi.
We are not at First Baptist. We are sitting in my office. It's not a Sunday. It's a Tuesday afternoon. No, it's not even
it's not even a Tuesday.
I'm so tired. I don't even know what day
Wednesday.
It is. It's Wednesday. And this is not a teaching. It is a short primer for week 5 of our current practice on the healing of memories. Most of you know that our church is built around this idea of practicing the way of Jesus together in Portland, which is the city that we call home. We believe that practice in community is a central piece of our apprenticeship to Jesus, and out of that, our transformation to reach our full potential in the kingdom of God. So every 2 months, we take on a new practice, and we go after it as a church. We teach on it over a couple of weeks on a Sunday, and then we practice it in our community. Right now, we're in a practice called
Dealing with your past.
Absolutely. I feel like there should be music in the background or something.
Maybe we can
really
add it.
Somber, depressing, scary music. And it's been a really, I think, intense month and
so
hard
intense.
And difficult, but good and healthy and right and fitting as we as a church have been dealing with our past, going back in order to go forward. But one of the things that we see happening across the life of our church and in our own life is people are coming back to memories from their childhood, from their adolescence, from earlier in their life. Some of those are memories that they just haven't been able to shake over the years. Others are memories that they had forgotten, whether through some kind of psychological trauma or suppression or just kind of the dust of history. People are remembering, oh yeah, that event. Oh yeah, that event. Oh yeah, that. And some of that is just kind of the exposure of a deep wound from a family of origin, in particular if your family of origin is pretty dysfunctional. And others are actually memories that we think the Holy Spirit is bringing you back to because they're areas where you need healing in your soul and in the way that you relate to God and to other people. And so some of those memories are actually, we think, from the Holy Spirit. So the question we really want to ask in this last week of practice is, what do you do with those? You have a memory of pain or rejection or something that was said to you or done around you from when you were a child or a teenager or a 20-something, and you have that, and it's there, and the odds are it has some kind of power over you, at least at an emotional level, if not a relational level, and even more. What do you do with that? How do you get healing from those memories? So, Bethany, maybe any story or thought to start us off?
Yeah, I think it's crazy how powerful memories are. I was thinking as we were starting to do this podcast about a specific memory, a kind of experience I had as God was healing me with a specific memory. And it was this memory of me. I was like probably 7 or 8 years old. I was following my mom around the house, and she had just gotten done with a dance class, so she was tired and overwhelmed, and I was, you know,
I can only imagine.
I was being a kid. Can you imagine?
Red hair. You must have been like the cutest kid ever.
I was really cute, like small, surprisingly. And just, anyway, I was kind of following my mom around and not giving her any space at all. And I remember I followed her into her bedroom, and she was going into the bathroom. And finally, she turned around and said to me, "You're too much." And that's like a pretty normal phrase, I think, that moms would say when they're tired at the end of the day.
I think I've said that exact same thing.
They have like such a precocious, smart child, you know, who just wants to be near them. And so I'd said that. And then it was so crazy because just like 2 years ago, I had that memory come back. And I was working with my counselor. And I was feeling, I was living into at least some reality.
So it's not something that you thought about all through high school and college?
No, never. In fact, I hadn't thought about it ever until just 2 years ago. I was 30 years old. I mean, just came back to my mind. And then we started exploring it just a little bit more. I was like, I remembered in a therapy session that this memory existed. And I could pinpoint specific pain and even a narrative that came from that moment.
And what was the narrative?
That I was too much. That when people around me, it was too overwhelming. They would get tired of me. They wouldn't want to be around me. And so we just spent some time praying and asking the Lord to tell me what was true about that memory.
Because the lie was, you're too much.
The lie was, you're too much. And when someone in authority like your mom,
shaped
powerful.
The deep insecurity.
Absolutely.
And
especially because I wanted my mom's approval.
Right.
So that had so much power. I didn't even realize how much it had shaped how I was living day to day with people, specifically people in authority over me.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, just the belief that they wouldn't want to be around me, that they... that I would be overwhelming to them. So I have to, you know, tone myself back.
So it shaped how, yeah, who you
Absolutely.
Were and how you...
As a grown-up in a job, it was yeah. like shaping my reality.
Wow.
So.
And then through prayer and listening prayer, yeah. you discovered the truth, which was...
Which was, it was just Jesus put himself right in that memory with me, showed me where he was and said, no, like, you're everything. Like, you're all the wonderful things that I want you to be. I made you this way. And he just, in the memory, it's so weird, he just kind of explained to me, like, look at your mom, she's tired. Like,
yeah.
she had so much going on. And so finally I could understand what was true in that narrative as opposed
right.
to what I had just, you know, perceived as a yeah. kid, which was like, I'm a mess.
yeah, your interpretation
or it's too much.
And the narrative
right.
script that was born out of that.
Totally changed.
So I love that story because it's a great example of the power of the past over us in an
yeah.
unhealthy, if not toxic way, a way to break that power through the healing of memories. So what we want to walk you through in this week's exercise is a very simple, not a formula, but a very simple exercise for the healing of memories based around, and we basically just, that was it in narrative form, but basically it's just around these three ideas of event, emotion, and interpretation. Bethany, would you explain it for us?
Yeah, events are just what they sound like. They're small, they can be anything from small events, just like what I shared. Of just
a memory of something
of
that
being,
happened in the past.
Yeah, in my house with my mom, all the way to a traumatic event, like you mentioned earlier, something significant that was done in front of you, done
Abuse
to you.
Or, yeah.
Absolutely. So it kind of is a spectrum. Events oftentimes can even be repeated patterns of behavior. So think about things like, you know, your parents always being late to pick you up somewhere, just different things like that.
So it's everything from a one-time traumatic event.
Totally.
My father died when I was 7 or my mother abused
right.
me to, yeah.
To like consistent.
A regular,
yeah.
non-traumatic, regular
yeah.
event.
An event in your life. So it could just be anything, kind of just had an impact on you. And those things are put in your memory. They're lodged in there. So you won't have to work too hard to figure out what those are. And then the next thing is an emotion. So identifying the emotion or emotions around that specific event. So in my example of my mom saying you're too much, the emotion that surrounded that was pain and a feeling of even embarrassment.
Yeah.
And
insecurity,
that,
yeah, I would imagine.
A little bit of humiliation. So there's these emotions that help me understand at least the gravity of what was taking place in that event and how it impacted
yeah.
my person.
And
upon
it can be
first
anything
impact.
From fear, guilt, shame, embarrassment.
Totally.
Yeah.
Any of those.
Any jealousy, yeah. rage, anger,
loneliness,
any kind of emotion.
Isolation, all any of those feelings. So any emotions. And I just want to say too on that, no emotion is insignificant. Positive or negative, all your emotions are good and are actually telling you a story about what kind of
yeah.
was forming in that moment. So really important to pay attention to. And then finally, interpretation. This is like the key point. This is that pivotal part of discovering what's actually taking place and what you took and are moving ahead with. So this is how you interpreted the event. Based on the event and the emotions, then you get your interpretation of what happened. So you're going, this event happened, these emotions surrounded it, and now I have taken on some kind of information that's shaping and impacting the way that I live my life. So if my parents repeatedly left me or never came to pick me up on time or whatever it may be, I might have this narrative that I'm not important. The feelings
right.
around it were shame, embarrassment, and just a general
your
sense
interpretation
of loss.
Is
yeah.
therefore the narrative script that plays in your mind's eye
yeah.
and that you live out of.
And informs you. Yeah.
yeah.
Informs your behavior. So
fantastic. So event, emotion, interpretation. So we have a very simple exercise for our last week of practice. And basically, you take a memory from your past and you work through that template of event, emotion, interpretation. So a great way to do this is first you want to do this alone, then you want to do it in community. So for the alone part, basically you want to get a journal out or a piece of paper or a Evernote file or something. Go somewhere quiet, do a little silence and solitude. If you remember that from our last practice so long ago, tap into that new muscle you have and clear your mind, clear your heart, invite the Holy Spirit, ask the Spirit of God to silence the voice of the enemy or guilt or shame or anything like that in your mind or imagination. And then there are two ways to do it. Either you just start with a memory that you already have and you already know, and you already know is a problem and an issue. Or if you're not really sure, then maybe just create a little space, do a little listening prayer, and ask the Holy Spirit to bring you back to a memory that you need healing of and see what comes to mind. And it might really surprise you.
Yeah.
And it might be this traumatic thing you forgot about, or it might be something small, like a line from your mom when she
Absolutely.
Got home late from, you know, dance class or whatever. But that played a key role. And Jesus knows even better than you are where you need healing. You know where it hurts, but he's the doctor.
That's right.
So either way, whether you start right from the beginning with a memory that's already there, or you do listening prayer and you let the Holy Spirit spark a memory in your mind's eye and imagination, basically just get your journal out or piece of paper or an Evernote file. First, write out the event. So just write out the story in a few sentences. Then write out the emotion that you feel connected to it. Anger, rage, jealousy, fear, insecurity, embarrassment, guilt, shame. What is the emotion? And then the key part is write out your interpretation of that event, what you think it means about who you are, who God is, who anybody else involved in that memory are, what's true, what's not true, what it means for how you live. Do your best to write out your interpretation. And then the key thing at that point, at that moment, that's where like the make or break moment, you want to do this alone and then in community, as I said. So alone, you want to do a little listening prayer there and ask Jesus to speak into your mind and imagination through the Holy Spirit, and he has direct access to your mind, your imagination, your heart, your body. He has direct access through the Holy Spirit. So you want to ask him to speak into you and tell you whether or not your interpretation is true or false. Is this the right interpretation that is in line with the teachings of Jesus, the writings of the New Testament, the reality of the kingdom of God and the gospel? Or is it a half-truth? Or is it even worse, is it a lie? Is your interpretation true or false?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to practice listening prayer and write out what you feel that Jesus is saying. And he might say, yes, that's right. Or he might confirm it, or he might correct it, or he might flat out rebuke it and call it out as a demonic untruth. Then you're not done at that point. Then you want to take it to somebody in your community that you know and trust. So this can be a therapist. This can be a best friend over coffee. If you have a really tight-knit Bridgetown community, this can be you and 10 people over dinner if you feel safe and vulnerable and okay with that group of people. I have a really safe community, so it's easy for me to share stuff. Others of you don't, or you're not there yet, you're new to community, and that takes time. Or this can be just somebody that you trust, a family member, but somebody that you trust who is a follower of Jesus and who is filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't need a PhD. They don't need to, like, you know, interpret tongues or whatever, but somebody who is a follower of Jesus and is filled with the Spirit of God. And you want to tell them the exact same thing, the event, the emotion, and the interpretation, and then let them speak into that interpretation to confirm or to correct, to say, yes, that's true, or no, that's a lie. And to help you interpret it in line with the writings of the New Testament and the gospel. So it's really that simple. You write out the event, the emotion, the interpretation, you do some listening prayer, and then you share what you feel, what you sense to the best of your ability with somebody that you know and you trust. Bethany, if somebody is dealing with, you know, really deep trauma, you know, and the memory's not, my mom said this one line to me, you know, in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's way more intense than that. It's sexual abuse, or it's, you know, violence, or, and there's just all sorts of God, why, and how could you let this happen to me? And it's deep, and I can't share this with anybody. I'm scared to even think about it myself, you know? What's a beginning point for somebody to process that in listening prayer?
Yeah, I think, you know, the goal eventually would be that you would be able to share it with somebody safe.
Right.
But understand, too, that it does take time, but that's not something that's going to happen overnight, specifically with traumatic memories. So there's a little something you can do, particularly if you're visual. This is like a great exercise. But just like John Mark said, that the Holy Spirit has access to our imaginations, our bodies, our persons. A lot of times what I do, because I'm hyper-visual, it helps me a ton, is I just, especially if it's a very deep and hard memory, I ask the Holy Spirit to take me in my mind's eye back to that memory. So specifically, just show me the memory in my mind. You know, a lot of times we'll know what it is,
right?
But try to stay present to it. A lot of times you keep your eyes shut or whatever helps you pay attention, focus, and show up in the memory. And I know for many of you, this is going to be, that can be very painful. It's scary to go back there.
Trauma.
Yeah, but we've been saying it this whole series that you do not go back to memory, especially as a Jesus follower, by yourself. And so that's the important part. I just don't want you to miss when we ask you to go back.
Yeah.
We don't want you to be re-traumatized. We don't want anything like that.
You go back with Jesus.
But you go back with Jesus.
Community.
Yeah. And so I go back and I just say, would you take me back to the memory? Let me just be present to it, even if I was young. And the Holy Spirit can absolutely help you to do that. And then I just ask him, in this memory, Jesus, where were you, or where are you? And I just wait. I wait until he shows up. A lot of times he's in the corner of the bedroom, or he's on the bed next to me, or he's standing right behind me. But I just wait until I can see where he is in my imagination. Jesus, where are you in this memory? And then one more thing. I just ask him, Jesus, what is it that you want me to know? Coming out of this memory, what is it that I need to know? And really, this is in line with what Jean-Marc was saying. What's the truth? Like, what's true here? And we're saying, Jesus, what do you want me to know? And in that memory, a lot of times, keep him in your mind where he is. He's right where he was, and he'll answer and respond. And part of what that does is, if you think about it a little bit in depth, if your brain can go there, this is actually changing your experience with that memory. Because now every time you go back to that memory, you know exactly where Jesus was and what he was saying. So it's kind of a way of just easing into, there probably is more in the memory to dissect and to ask Jesus, of course, about. But this is a great entry point for anyone who's wanting to start there.
Yeah, and you can do that for any memory.
Absolutely.
But it's especially geared at trauma of any kind.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great.
And once again, then share it with community, a therapist, whatever is fantastic. So that's the basic idea of event, emotion, interpretation. You process it alone through listening prayer and a journal open, and then you process it in community, whether that's your home community or a best friend or a family member that you trust or a therapist, all of that. And, you know, we made this an optional fifth week for two reasons. One, because not all of you have trauma. And ideally, you know, dealing with your past is a short exercise because your family was amazing and your childhood was idyllic.
Yeah, we bless you.
All three of you can have a great time not doing
this.
Enjoy
yourself.
But seriously, for some people, there's not all this healing you need from your past. And that's great. Celebrate that. Just know you're the minority, not the majority. But we also made it optional because we recognize that a lot of people just aren't ready to go here yet. And as sad as I am over that, because I want people to get healing and freedom, we recognize that and we respect it. So if you're not ready to do this yet, that's absolutely fine. We really hope that you are ready at some point because, you know, I was reading a book this morning on listening prayer called Seeing is Believing by Greg Boyd. And he had this great little line. It's a little cheesy, but he just said, a wound that is concealed is a wound that can never be healed. And the reality is any memories from your past where there's emotional pain, as long as it's under the surface of your life and you don't drag it out and deal with it with Jesus and with community, it's unhealed and you deal with the symptoms of that pain for the rest of your life. And one of the, I think, the great tragedies for us, even at a pastoral level, watching Bridgetown and watching the last couple of weeks, is often whenever we talk about emotional health, the people that need to hear it the most are the ones that fight it, you know, that don't want to, I don't need to deal with my past, I'm fine, I don't need to go there. We're like, actually, you need to go there more than anybody. God bless
this
you.
This is your invitation.
And I don't say that to slam anybody, just to say, man, there's a part of me that there's an ache there, you know, for people. I know this is hard. I know this is difficult. It's easy for me to say I have a great family of origin. I don't have all this trauma to deal with from my past. But in love, we really want to do everything we can to encourage you to step out and do surgery, even though it's painful, in order to get healing, you know? So this is a great way to do it. We hope it's helpful for you, for your community. There's a little book called Anatomy of the Soul by a psychologist by the name of Kurt Thompson that does a great job of kind of the tie-in between spiritual formation and neurobiology. And he has this great line about how you can't change your past, but you can change the way you experience your past. And that's just so hopeful for me that I can't change what happened to me 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 minutes ago. It's there. It's done. It's a part of my autobiography. It's a part of me. But I can change how I experience it. And for a lot of people, the past, in particular emotional pain from the past, has power over them in an unhealthy, if not toxic, way. And you can get free where your past no longer has power over you, but rather even under you. And you did a great job of teaching on that, Bethany, about how to let your past bless you.
Yeah.
With Joseph as a beautiful example of that. And man, that's only Jesus can do that.
That's right.
Where you get to the spot where not only are you healed up from your past, but actually that has a power under you. It's a part of your story of freedom for you and for other people. And so it's more than just, oh, I'm healed up and I'm okay now. But it's actually, you know, that's become a part of my story, and God's used it in my life and in the life of others. So that's what we want for you, for our church, for all of you listening online and who are part of practicingtheway.org. We hope that this week is a helpful practice for you. Grace and peace.